Well, in Psalm chapter 42, if you have your Bible, we'll read beginning in verse 1 in Psalm 42. As a hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. So why our soul is disquieted? Heaven will be our resting place. Down here, while life is just going to be one thing after another, and we don't want to paint a dark picture, but we don't want us to be thinking about, you know, everything's going to be smooth. That's why the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 6:12 to fight the good fight of faith. So we are responsible to do that, to make sure that we are fighting the good fight of faith. And then, of course, there's discouragements. We read about that in our reading. And one of the reasons for our discouragements is that we keep looking for our victory over all things in this life. In other words, we want to get to the point where we have achieved and where our work is done. And when things seem to settle down a little bit, we think, well, you know, things are good. Why, then something else will happen. And then our pain will start all over again. Christ never labored for a while and then carved out for himself a comfortable living. And I suppose it's just human to wish for a situation where we can reach a plateau of everything being great, everything being good, everything being in accord, everything just remaining that way, and everything just continue to get better and bigger. But that's not the way it goes. And Paul wanted to make sure he got that across to the church at Ephesus. I want to go over to the book of Acts in chapter 20. And we, of course, need to know what to expect. And we need to know how to deal with it when it does come. But in the 20th chapter of Acts, when he met with the elders at Ephesus, he told them in the 28th verse, to take heed therefore unto yourselves, to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God, and this is the good part, and it says, commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. So the end is not going to be the bad things. The end is we can have the victory. But just think of what could be if everybody and everyone stood in their place, what God could and would do. You think about the church, and if everybody that's ever made a profession of faith in the church ever walked the aisle and said they wanted to serve God, if everybody would just continue in that, why, just think of what it could be. But that's not reality, is it? So the Bible directs us to look unto Jesus. In the 12th chapter of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 12, and there in verse 1, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him," in other words, he wasn't necessarily happy every day. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, but there is a joy out there set before him. "He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." In other words, lest your soul be disquieted. "Ye have not yet visited or are resisted unto blood, striving against sin." You notice it refers back to the cloud of witnesses in the first verse. So we have a Bible of people that God has honored their faith. And we study these, we emphasize what a glorious story of life that they had. And God says, that's what we need to be thinking about. That wherever there has been faith, there's always been the honor of God upon that life. In Jude, in verse 24, it says, "Unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." So it's not a matter of just what our capabilities are, but God says it's what he will do. It's what he will do for us as we remain true to him. 1 John 4:4 says, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." So we must never be overwhelmed by what we see in our world, but be always beholden unto Jesus, who we know was the victor. Christ's victory, according to what you read in various places, like Philippians chapter 2 and verses 9 through 11 even, his victory came when he was exalted at the right hand of God. And he's there right now, and so his exaltation is there in heaven, and he's coming again in all his glory as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But while he was here on earth, he was despised and rejected. Despised and rejected. So that tells us a little bit about the fact that he said the servant is not greater than the Lord. So the church is not greater than Christ. The church is not more able to ward off things than Christ was. So think about this. Christ was despised and rejected of men. When he was perfect, the church isn't perfect. We're not perfect. But the way things go over a period of time, with the talk and with the responses, the negative responses that happen, the stories that go around, a church comes to the same place where it's despised and rejected of men. And we sometimes would like to think that that's not going to be the case. But if Jesus Christ were in Lynchburg, Ohio, today, it would be no different for him now than it was then. Eventually, it would come to the point of him being despised and rejected. So why should we think that everybody is going to say, "Oh, Faith Baptist Church, that's the greatest church"? Why should we even think that? Because if we're like him, we're going to partake of his sufferings. We will also be in that category of being despised and rejected of men. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 7, it says, "Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh." Offense is a terrible thing. And when offenses are what people are working from, and sometimes that's what it comes to, their whole attitude is now one of offense. When that's what a person starts working from, they can even come to a place where the Lord Jesus Christ won't satisfy them anymore. So they'll just quit. They'll just quit serving God. And they'll walk away. And that's what offense will do. But that's not where we're to go. We're not to go with offense. We're to go with faith. So by knowing the divine perfection of Christ, we know that every thought, every spoken word, every action against him was unjustified. It had no reason because he was perfect. It was totally unwarranted. It would be of the devil because there was no fault to be found in him. But that's not really the case where we're concerned. We cannot say there's no fault to be found in Brother Miller. We cannot say there's no fault to be found in Faith Baptist Church. We cannot say that. So if he, as a perfect person, endured so much opposition, then it's something that you and I need to think about, that there's more reason for people to have a more negative attitude toward a church than there was toward Christ. Because some of the accusations have some reason. And perhaps somebody has done something, and we all are not perfect, so there's definitely fodder out there that can be used against us. But we know that we have to be delivered by Christ from our failures. So just think how much and how strong and how convincing the opposition against Christ became. But then there's more reason for it to be against us than there was against him. It took the divine power of God to give Christ the victory over his adversaries, and it will take no less to deliver us. We're going to have God on our side. But there's a few things we need to think about on that. And I want to go to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, and we'll begin reading in verse 12. 1 Peter 4, 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. So here's what God wants us to think about a little bit. We've got to remember why our intentions, our efforts, and our concerns for others become so negatively responded to when it's the best that we can offer and it's in their behalf. The better your efforts, the more antagonism they will provoke. And the greater your love, the more hatred that will respond to it. That's the conflict between God and Satan. Now, that's the conflict. And we just happen to be on the front lines right now. And everyone that's lived and served the Lord is on that front lines. So we're in that conflict. And the conflict between truth and error, the conflict between light and darkness. And so we have to remember that this is a conflict that is not just so much about us, but it's about the conflict between God and the devil, and we're a part of it. And so we don't have power over that, but we do have a deliverer. I want to go back to Matthew chapter 5 and some things. The question, why is my soul disquieted? In other words, why do we get down? Why do we get discouraged? Why do we sometimes start thinking the negative thoughts? But in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 11, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. That sounds like it's in reverse. Why would we think that that's a good place to be? Well, in verse 12, Christ says, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." So let's just do a little reasoning. Which is better? To have a person who is not right with God butter you up and flatter you, or one that would go out and lie about your efforts? Which is better for you? Would you rather have somebody lie to you and butter you up and make you think that you're a great person, but yet they're mocking you in their own mind about it, and they don't really mean it, but they're really building you up? Or would you just rather have them flat out say, you know, I don't like you, you're nothing? Well, Christ said, "Rejoice, be exceeding glad." You know, that's a hard one to swallow. And I have to go back to God on this a lot of times, because it's just not in me to really get happy when somebody else is, you know, working against me or on the negative side. It's just not an easy thing to do. But Christ says, remember this, great is your reward when these things are happening. One of the hardest things to undergo is if you have your faith discredited. I want to go back to Psalm 43. And Psalm 42 in verse 3 says, "My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God?" In other words, your faith, your belief, it's nothing. The devil wants you to think that no matter what you do or how hard you try, there's something still not right about it. And it's just not good enough. So, kind of put a downward mark on you what you're doing. Well, that's not been anything unusual. You want to go back to the book of Nehemiah. And I know when we first started here as a mission, the building was run down. The church had a bad reputation from those that had been here before. And you always got that kind of read back when you were talking to people about coming down to Faith Baptist Church. You always would have that, But here in Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 2, "He spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall." And then you can see him laughing. Sure, they all had a big laugh about that. Well, you know, they're nothing. If a fox goes over there, he'll knock down their work. Back in the sixth chapter of Nehemiah, in verse 8, "Then I sent unto him, saying, there is no such thing done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. For they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands." And then down in the 13th verse, "Therefore was he hired, that I should be afraid and do so and sin, and that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me." See, the devil wants to throw us off. He wants us to think, there's no use. And he wants us to look at the difficulties. And so the point is, he wants us to think that no matter how good our efforts are, how hard we try, it's not going to be good enough. Not going to turn out to be anything. But here's the thing, you notice in that 13th verse, Nehemiah prayed that their attitude would not interfere with the attitude of the enemy would not get to them mentally, to where that it would cause them to kind of go downward in the work of God. That would be a sin if they went downward. So we will not be what others accuse us of being until we start believing what they say. So the church, somebody may say, oh, I know I had a guy say, well, there'll never be a church established here. He was a former member, and he came in to say his piece. He said, there'll never be a church established here. It's like that. I said, well, I know where you got that from. I said, the devil's been saying that from the day the doors were open. But we will never be what they say against us until we start believing it. And then if we start believing what they're saying, then that's when things go bad. So when our mind begins to burden our heart with the things that are moving against us, let us remember to stir into this boiling pot a good measure of faith in God and what His Word tells us. And so you look at verse 5 of Psalm chapter 42. In Psalm chapter 42 and verse 5, he says, why? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? That's what we need to do. When you get discouraged, say, well, why am I getting discouraged? Why am I letting this happen to me? I know better than this. Why am I letting it do it? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. We know why these things happen. The Bible tells us. God tells us it's because whenever anybody is striving to serve Christ, the world or anyone not right with God is going to react negatively against you. So when you have tried to help somebody, and you have done your best, and then they turn sour on you, you know why. You know why. If you just think about what God has said and what God tells us, we know why. We know why God also allows us to undergo that, of being falsely accused and reproached for faithfulness to Him, so He will give us rewards and blessings. We know these things. So David's saying, why am I allowing this to happen? Because he said, there's coming a day I'm going to praise him. I'm going to praise him for the fact that he was there, that he helped me through all of it. So we need to rest our case with God. Hope thou in God. We need to do it in a twofold way. In Psalm chapter 43, we'll get into that chapter now in verse 1. Psalm 43, 1, judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. David took his case to God. He wanted to defer all the judgment into the hands of God and get it off of him. I want to go to Romans chapter 12. We'll be coming back here again. But in Romans chapter 12, and there in verse 17, Romans chapter 12 and there in verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Commit the judgment of the things into God's hand. So the more you do good, the better it's going to go for you, and the worse it's going to go for the person that is against you. And I think it's pretty clear. But we've got to be careful that we don't become obsessed with the evil of other people. Let their sins be their own sins. Let their problem be their problem. Don't make it your problem. So if you're trying to help somebody and they're giving you a rough time, don't let that become your problem. Let it be their problem. We've got to have that. To where we don't become obsessed with somebody else's problem. We've got to remain free to be a vessel that can minister to the needs of other people. That's what we're called to do. And we cannot effectively do this if we're eating, breathing, and sleeping with resentment toward others. Sad to say, I know what that'll do to a person. If a person gets bitter over the fact that other people are not doing what they ought to do, it'll eventually eat them up. It'll eventually bring them to where they cannot function anymore as a Christian. So we need to completely defer all the judgment to God. And don't let somebody else's problem be your problem. And don't let their attitude be what decides what you do. But go ahead and do. Now the next thing we've got to do is, in resting our case with God, going back to Psalm chapter 43 again. Psalm 43:2, "For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth, let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God my God." So what we're looking at here, it's important to overcome rather than be overcome. And we can do this not because of what we find within ourselves, but verse 4, "I will go unto God." I will go unto God. You know, Hebrews 7:25 says he's able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. So look at verse 5 again here in Psalm 43. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God." Remember what it will be when we get before God, having faithfully served him in spite of everything else. That's what he's saying. Remember what it will be, because we will find out that God didn't slight us. We will see how he was working everything together for our good. We will see the only failures we had were the ones where we failed to wait on him. But as far as all of the things that happened to us, all of the things that caused us problems, and we wondered, where is God, you know? And this seems to be a tough thing. We'll find out when we get to heaven. No. What was depressing us here on earth, you will praise God for his part in that very thing when we get there. We will see, I know why God allowed me to have that. I know why God allowed this to happen to me. You know, Romans 8:18 says, "I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." So don't forget about God when it comes to the things that are going on. And make sure we're working from the right angle, working from the right principle, and looking unto Jesus, living for the glory of God. So when it comes to the soul being disquieted within us, we need to question ourselves, why am I letting this happen? And we need to get back to God with our dependence, with our letting him handle the things that are beyond us, and know that God is big enough to take care of us, no matter what we might be going through. God can make our lives into something of worth now and in eternity. And of course, when we make the Lord our shepherd, we shall not want. That's what David said. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." May we bow our heads for prayer tonight. Our Father, we know that discouragement is just a part of life. And as human beings, we are affected by what other people say, what other people do, especially when people turn away and they might even discredit what we're striving to do and lay some reproach upon the church and upon the efforts that are being done. But we know that we can question ourselves, but we're not finding the answers there. We need to look to you. We need to know that you reward every effort. And any slight that's done to us will not be overlooked. You will be the judge of it. You will settle it. You will resolve it the way it needs to be. So we pray that we'll not be discouraged, no matter what's happening, no matter who is what and what they're doing, but we would keep on with our eyes upon Christ and realize all that he went through, yet he kept his eyes on the joy that was set before him. So help us to be in honor of you in all things, and may your Spirit give the invitation tonight, for it's in Jesus' name we offer our prayer.